Your Bibles, and let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and this is the text of our lesson this morning. Matthew chapter 16, and if you'd like to place your markers there, we will spend the majority of our time in this text this morning. Matthew chapter 16, and beginning in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The lesson this morning is titled, Is Your Mind Set on the Things of God? And I suspect that everyone here, as far as I know, everyone here, their mind is set upon these things. But maybe you're like me, you have a momentary lapse every once in a while. Or maybe your mind gets set on other things and you're really not concentrating, not focusing upon spiritual things, and you sort of get off track. And that's one of the great challenges I have in my life, staying on track, to stay totally focused, completely focused, 100% on the things which are of God. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. The first thing I want us to realize is that when people put stumbling blocks in front of us, that their mind is set upon the things of man. And I don't think anyone here would intentionally put a stumbling block before another person, but if we do that, our mind is not upon the things of God, they're on the things of man. And look at verse 23 more closely with me. This is Jesus. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. I want us to notice that Peter was a stumbling block. He put a temptation in the path of Jesus Christ. And whenever someone does this, whenever someone puts a stumbling block in front of us, I want us to notice that they are doing Satan's work. The word Satan means adversary. When someone puts a stumbling block before us intentionally or unintentionally, they are doing Satan's work. Now listen to me. That we may never wish to put a stumbling block in front of someone. We may never wish to do Satan's work. But even if we do it unintentionally, we are doing the work of Satan. It may be a friend who puts a stumbling block before us. It may be a coworker. Certainly you know as well as I know, there are many advertisers today who are intentionally putting stumbling blocks before people to sell their product. It may be a TV show, it may be music, and certainly it may be false teachers who are doing these things. I want us to notice from verse 23 that Jesus told Peter to get behind him. He said, Peter, get behind me. Much the same as he told the devil personally in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, the temptations upon the mountains. Jesus there having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and with the last temptation, he told Satan, get behind me. If you would, turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want us all to be reminded of something this morning, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage, just as I am. But I want us to remember and to notice that we are in control of these things. We do not have to have the friends who put a stumbling block before us. We do not have to be with those friends when they do those things. We do not have to work for a particular employer. We do not have to watch a certain advertisement or a certain show or listen to certain music, that we have control over the stumbling blocks just as Jesus did. Now notice with me in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? We have to realize that we have control over these stumbling blocks. That we are the ones who make the choice whether to have this association or not. And number two, when someone puts that stumbling block in front of us, we do not have to stumble over it. That we can do exactly as Jesus says, get behind me, get out of my way. We can get the stumbling block away from us, move it from our path, or go around it. It is our choice, and we are in control. I want us to also notice from verses 21 and 22 that Peter was trying to do a good thing. Peter wasn't trying to be Satan. He wasn't trying to be Jesus' adversary. He wasn't trying to put a temptation there. I believe from the scripture that Peter was trying to do a good thing. Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to be killed. I'm going to raise the third day. And Peter thought, this is so bad and this is so terrible. Says, God, Lord, let this never be. I want us to realize that sometimes people can be trying to help us when they're actually putting a stumbling block before us. There was one girl who had been raped and become pregnant. One of her friends told her, you know, my biology teacher at school told me, you know, if you get an abortion in the first 3 months, that you're really not killing a person, because that the fetus is not a person. And so the young girl believes that, and she goes and gets an abortion. Her friend unintentionally put that stumbling block there. Her friend actually believed, the biology teacher, that that was not murder, that that fetus was not really a person. Totally unintentionally. Sometimes the kids will come home from school and they'll say, you know, my teacher said so and so and so and so. I'll say, well, how do you know it's true? I'll say, do you believe that? Because your teacher says this or that, do you believe they know everything about everything and that they could never be wrong? The girl wasn't trying to put a stumbling block there. The girl was fully convinced that her biology teacher was right and that this was not a person, this was not murder, and that was a stumbling block. We must realize that sometimes even our friends, sometimes maybe even our parents, totally unintentionally, believing what they're saying is right, they put a stumbling block before us. Others may unknowingly teach or advise, living contrary to the Word of God, having good intentions, put a stumbling block in front of us. There's a saying that goes like this, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And many of those good intentions will be stumbling blocks for us. I want us also to realize that we are doing Satan's work when our mind is not set upon the things of God. That when we set our minds upon the things of man, when that's what we are focused on, and I suppose everybody in this auditorium today, that our minds have got off a track, that we're not focusing upon God, we're not focusing upon godly things, that our mind gets off track, and we're focusing on these worldly things. I want us to realize that we are doing Satan's work. That we do have influence over other people. By the example that we live and the things that we say, that we have influence over other people, and that we are doing Satan's work when our minds are set upon the things of man. This was the problem with Peter. Peter was a good person, wasn't he? Peter was a holy and a righteous person, all these things, but he had a momentary lapse. And for that period of time, perhaps that very short period of time, his mind was not on the things of God, but they were on the things of man, and he was doing Satan's work. Think about this. Why were Peter's thoughts worldly for that moment of time? In verse 21, Jesus explained what would happen, but Peter rejected that. Why? Because of human logic and desire. And let me suggest to you, when we allow our minds to think in a different way in which God has instructed us, when we allow our own thinking to take over and our own desires, Peter did not want to see anything bad happen to Jesus. Peter did not want to see Jesus to get hurt. Peter did not want to see any of these things happen to Jesus. And so his own human logic took over and his own desires took over, and therefore his thoughts were worldly instead of being godly. Whenever we allow human reasoning and logic and emotions and our own desires to take over, to have precedent over God's word, our mind will be focused upon the things of men. Perhaps just as the girl who advised her friend to have an abortion, the logical thinking is, oh, that's not a real person there. That fetus, that's not a living being. That's the logic of men. And it's wrong, absolutely wrong. And the consequence was that a person was murdered. We must be careful where we get our information, because there is a lot of bad information in the world. There is a lot of information that comes from this human reasoning and human logic, and it's not according to the Word of God. And we must be careful who it is we're listening to and what they are saying. And we must be careful what we believe. And you know just as well as I do, the gospel is the power unto salvation. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we must focus our thoughts upon the Word of God, train ourselves to think the way God wants us to think, and when necessary, reject human logic and even our own desires. As a faithful Christian, your thoughts are upon God. Peter, with his momentary lapse, his thoughts were not on God. They were on the things of man. Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to Colossians chapter 3. And again, another passage that you know so well and we talk about from time to time. But I want you to set your eyes upon these verses. And we're going to use these verses here in this part of the lesson. And then we're going to go to this same chapter, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look at two more verses at the very end of the lesson as we conclude our thoughts together. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. And this is what we do, constantly seeking, constantly striving, keeping our mind off of the world, continually seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on these things above. And I want you to realize that this is something we do, and we do it purposely, and we do it intentionally. It's not something where we're baptized into Christ and we come out of the water, all of a sudden our minds are transformed in some supernatural, mysterious way, and now we always think upon the things of heaven. No, we must put them on there ourselves. And brethren, let me suggest to you, just as Paul says, I die daily, what is he saying? Every moment I have to purposely put my thoughts on heaven once again. Every single day I purposely do it. And let me suggest to you, as I think about myself, the times that I've had my momentary lapses, or the times when I've not done this, I've not got up in the morning, maybe I've not started out the day with prayer, maybe I've not started out the day thinking about the things of God, and I've let myself be carried away with all the cares and the things of the world. And I'll have my momentary lapse. And perhaps you're thinking about yourself now. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's what we're focused on. We're not focused on the things here that are upon the earth. The beginning of verse 5, therefore consider your members of your earthly body as dead too. And then he lists all sorts of things. And this is our thinking. This is the way we are viewing. This is our attitude toward life. And we need this attitude adjustment every day. And that's what the Apostle Paul... This is what he means, that he dies daily. We need this adjustment every single day. Now look at verse 10. and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge. The point here for this morning is we must be constantly going to the Word of God. You know, and I appreciate Brother Dennis as he made his announcements today. He's emphasizing the importance for us to take our Bible class books and to look at our Bible lessons and study our Bible lessons. And then I'm sure you have other projects you're working on. You have other things you're studying on. As we are feasting and we're partaking of the Word of God, this is what it's about. Because let me tell you something. The moment we get our minds out of this book and the minute we get our minds off of prayer is the time when we're going to get off track. And so we need to make sure we're doing what God has set forth for us to do so that we're able to keep this attitude. We are like an Olympian. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be at this passage for in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Like an athlete. And the Apostle Paul uses the athletic metaphor and the military metaphor quite often in his teaching. We are like an athlete. An athlete has to set his mind on winning. Because if an athlete doesn't have his mindset on winning and getting the gold medal, then the athlete is not going to push himself day after day after day after day to utter exhaustion over and over and over and over. The mind must be set on the right place. And so it is with you and I. Our mind has to be on the right place and on the right things. An athlete has to consider himself dead to the world to compete at the highest level possible. There is, when you're a young person, there's not much of this going out with your friends. There's not time for that. You're up at 4:00 in the morning and you're going to work out and then you're going to school and then you're going to go work out again and then you're getting in bed so you can do it all over again. You are dead to the world. You don't care about worldly things, and if you get off track, you're going to lose the gold medal. And all these things are done according to knowledge as an athlete. You carefully study everything about the sport and the diet that's necessary for your body and the physical and mental health that is required, sports psychology, the location of the events, the weather conditions, the people you'll be competing against, clothing and apparel that can help you, the physical mechanics to make your body do what it needs to do to win. Knowledge. And for us as Christians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now, the apostle is telling us this. As Christians, everyone wins. That's the great thing about God. But run this race in life as if only one person wins. And you want that one person to be you. And then he says in verse 25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. To be an Olympian and to win the gold medal, you have to exercise control in every single aspect of your life. From the smallest bit of food that you take into your body to the time that you go to bed and you get up to everything. Every single thing. And we must do that as Christians. Verse 26. Therefore I run in such a way, not as without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. In other words, Paul says, have purpose in your life. Don't just go living life, going this way and that way and wishy-washy on this and that. If you're going to compete at the highest level of the Olympics, you must be totally focused on what you are doing. And Paul is telling us to do the same thing in our spiritual life. He says, verse 27, but I discipline my body and make it my slave. And that's what it has to be to win at the Olympics. And brethren, that's the way it has to be to win as a Christian. And we are competing not for a gold medal, but we are striving for eternal life. And yet we must exercise control in every single thing in our life and make our bodies our slave so that our mind is totally in control at all times. And Paul says this, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. In other words, after having gone through all of this, so that at the very end, he receives the crown of life. As a Christian, your mind is upon the things of God. Just as an athlete, you are controlling yourself and disciplining yourself in every aspect of life as you are totally focused on what you are doing. Well, there is a price to pay for this. In Matthew chapter 16, this is our text. And again, this is a passage you are extremely familiar with. But do you remember its connection with what we've already talked about? Do you remember the connection to what we've already talked about? Here is verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, get that. Then Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So, in order to do what Jesus is talking about, in order to do what we've been talking about thus far in this lesson, there is a price to be paid. We cannot be like everyone else in the world. Their mind is set on other things. They've got all sorts of interests. They've got all sorts of other things that are more important than the Lord and His church. But with us, the Lord comes first, His church comes first, and if we have time and if we have the ability for some of these other things along the way, that's fantastic. God tells us He's given them to us. He's given us to enjoy and to use, and we do that, but we never lose our focus on what our primary objective is, serving God and going to heaven. We consider our mortal bodies as dead. That means that many of the things that are in the world that we do not participate in, that we do not get involved with, because they are not within our objective of eternal life. And we do this according to knowledge. Are you paying the price? Are you paying the price? Paul says in Philippians 3, 7 through 14, count all things as loss for the sake of Christ in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Are you paying the price? Counting them as rubbish to gain Christ and be found in Him, are you paying the price? Pressing on to lay hold to eternal life, are you paying the price? Pressing on to the goal of the upward prize for the sake of the gospel, are you paying the price? Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Are you paying the price doing all things for the sake of the gospel? Think about this. Jesus paid the price so that you could go to heaven. Are you paying the price so you could go to heaven? Think about that. In lieu of the class we've had in our adult class, our young folks class, and perhaps others today, of Jesus with the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus paid the price so you could go. Are you paying the price so you could go? You'll also be rewarded. I want you to notice within this exact same context, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father and His angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Yes, there is a price, and yes, there is a reward. Just like the athlete, just like the Olympian, that stays in his priorities, that stays focused, that pays the absolute price to win, he receives a reward. And you also receive a reward. Turn your Bibles with me back to Colossians 3, and we'll use this to conclude our lesson. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 2 and verses 4. Colossians chapter 3, we already read verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. And we know from other scriptures what's going to happen. When Jesus Christ returns with a shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpets, when he comes with those who have passed away, who sleep in Christ, as we rise up to be with him in the sky, as he is revealed from heaven, so we will be in glory with him. And Paul tells us that he will take us home to be with him forevermore. We'll never be absent from the Lord, that we'll be with him forever, witnessing the glory of his throne. You will be rewarded. Is it always easy? No. Are you going to have to give up things? Yes. Can the price be pretty steep to pay sometimes? Yes. But the reward is much greater than the price. Keeping our minds focused upon the things of God. Is your mind set on the things of God? Can it be set just a little bit more? Think about that. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. If you get your songbook out, turn to number 272. Jesus, the loving shepherd. If you're not a Christian this morning, perhaps you've been thinking about it. Today is the day. That's what Paul says. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Might be the last day you get. Might be the last chance that you get. Set your mind upon God. To do that, you have to obey him. What does Jesus ask us to do? Simply to believe. To repent of our sins, change what we're doing, to do the right thing. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Your mind will be set. You'll begin paying the price. You'll be promised of the reward. If we can help you at all this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?